CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody. Good morning. What's happening? Do you like my new voice that I'm putting on for the show? I'm going to talk for the rest of my life. This is now how it's going to be. This is the way that I say things now. Aren't you lucky, Sia, that this is how I talk? Oh, yes.
You're the fourth member of the three tenors.
What's that? I'm the fourth member of?
Of the three tenors.
Yeah, then they're going to have to change it to the four tenors. And since what two of them are dead, and one of them is like charged with...
sexual whatnot.
Yeah, like...
Weinstein vibes.
That's exactly what it is. Jesus. That means I'm the one tenor.
Yeah, you have to hold, keep the flame going.
Imagine you, what is it? Placido Domingo is the only one left, right? And he's like, where are my friends when I need them the most? I am accused of horrible crimes and my friends are both dead.
Yeah, he's suffering from the Placido effect. Okay. No, actually, that one I can give to you.
That's fantastic. Well done. That's
That is really good.
Jesus, coming on strong this morning. Bulelo Tinta, everybody.
Did some push-up. Feeling good.
Yeah.
Big cheer.
Wow. I'm doing that push-up challenge, I told you, and I'm doing, I mean, it's not a lot. I'm doing, for the first week, 45 of them. I mean, I don't do it all in a row, so I do 15, then I do 15, then I do 15, but it's all within a space of like, you know, half an hour. And in between, I'm doing other exercises as well. And it feels good. Like, I like the idea that I could use, you know, the fact that I'm at home to do, but I must tell you, it's very boring to do exercises in your own home, on your own, when you don't have the right equipment. I've tried there is nothing I have not done with these two kettlebells of mine. I've actually named them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who are they?
They're called Jesus and Sally. Jesus is the one that I use on the left, and then Sally's the right-hand one.
Dare I ask why?
No, I made that up right now. I didn't. I don't have names for them.
Okay.
But it would be, I think I'm getting to the point where I'm going to do a Tom Hanks and draw a face on them.
I was going to... Oh, wait a minute. That's a very fancy cup, Karen.
You like this little cup, huh? I've got a... just describe it to everybody. It's a little purple espresso cup.
Yeah, it looks very Alice in Wonderland-y.
Well, I told you I've got this fancy new machine, which Bulelo would approve of. In fact, I'm thinking of having him round just so that he can test the coffee and tell me if it's actually as good as I think it is. Because it really is. It's one of those bean grinding machines that makes, it's got like a menu on it, and you could press espresso, cappuccino, macchiato. Mm-hmm.
Careful what you wish for, because the machine isn't where the secret is. It's part of the secret. What if I come over and you've got rubbish beans? Because that's where it is.
Okay, so go on. I'll let you indulge everybody in your personal fantasy world of coffee.
Single origin, always.
Single origin beans. So what do you prefer? Do you like the Kenyan stuff? Do you like the...
Yeah, so I always go Kenyan. Mm-hmm. Ethiopian stuff's good, but the really good stuff is when you can get the Colombian single origin, the Honduran single origin. That's some of the good stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have three or four brands that I try and go with, and now I've got a Kenyan supplier. And the tracker says next week I will be my happiest, best self because my beans arrive then.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You have a coffee bean tracker?
Well, for deliveries. Like, how do you get Uber Eats?
Yeah. So he knows where it is at the moment and what warehouse it's sitting. So, Mbulelo.
That is very particular. But, you know, Mbulelo, I like my hot chocolate cocoa, you know, really drenched in sugar.
It's so gross. So bad for you.
Then just, you know, just that hint of glucose.
Don't forget, Sia, you admitted this week you're getting fat. So, muffin tops.
Well, we'll all die at one point. As long as I'm not like 900 pounds just yet, I'm fine.
All right, so Mbulelo, I've got friends who, my one friend, she's a really you know, we've known each other for what, 20 years? Mm. She married a coffee farmer. And they live on the south coast in Natal. And he's got this beautiful farm, and they make amazing coffee. And she actually gave me a coffee tree at her wedding a couple of years ago, and I managed to keep it alive. I mean, it's little. It's a pot plant, effectively. And I've never tried to put it in the garden because it would die here because of the frost. But they also gave me some of their coffee, which is spectacular. You'll probably really like that.
Absolutely.
It's ground, so it's not the beans, but it's beautiful coffee. Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's local, and it's very much organic, and they do all the right things. And, you know, they have a whole sustainable community that they've got going there. The workers own part of the farm and, you know, that kind of thing. So they really do it very ethically. And it's something I'm not sure how many coffee farmers there are in South Africa. There can't be that many.
Yeah, I didn't know coffee was a big thing here. I thought
you need very specific climate. Soil. You need certain soil. I mean, people like Mbulelo can sip on, you know, an espresso, for example, and they'll say to you, oh, it's from here.
It's such an important part of life. It's so quality driven. And then you get these people like somebody we all know, and I see her come in, and then I say, can I make you a coffee?
No, and she's one of the healthiest people I know. You don't. You say, can I make you a chicory?
I do now. And it hurts me every time I have to make it for her, but it's what she wants. And it's so sad.
She likes that stuff out of the tin.
Like sweat. Like drinking sweat.
ew. I'm of two minds with this topic. The first is, I really don't think you're one of the very few people that I know, Mbulelo, who gets so worked up over coffee. But then on the other hand, I'm just so pleased to see you get excited over something.
Quality.
Knowing you, we'll die anyway. You know, coffee, just a plug.
He does get excited about things. I mean, sport, coffee, there's a lot that goes. He just doesn't get excited about the same things as you and I, which is...
And the 49 things on the list that he hates.
Mm, yeah, right.
Quality over quantity.
So who's on your show?
Good old Ben Karpinski returns tonight.
You've run out of guests, have you?
Yeah, they've just launched something very cool. We'll chat about that. UFC, huge UFC fight.
You did not hear what you said.
No, you didn't hear me at all.
What did he say?
I said, oh, so you've run out of guests, huh?
Oh, well, you got to go Polish once you're out of guests, is what the old saying says.
Ben is great. So I think he'll be talking about Match Kit, right, which is this new product that they've launched. And, of course, he's like you, just a massive sports fan.
He is, and he avoids having relationships by playing golf, so we'll get into that as well.
Oh, yeah. You, if you start him on golf, he just doesn't stop.
Oh, wonder why he's single.
Yeah. And who did you have last night?
Last night, we just had me and Vodi answering questions, which was awesome, actually. Oh. So we mixed it up. But we've got a really great guest coming up next week. Very famous golfer, Lee Westwood. So one of the leading golfers in the world.
That's phenomenal.
And then... If you know who Vinnie Jones is, he played for a club called Wimbledon, and we are looking forward.
Vinnie Jones?
Well, Vinnie Jones, hopefully in the future, but for now, we're going to start off with the owners of Wimbledon, and we'll get into the story of how Vinnie Jones, of course, he was part of something called the Crazy Gang.
Jesus, and that's we'll amazing. I know who Vinnie Jones is. I know nothing about sport, but he also was a movie star.
Well, he was a football star, but first.
Yes, Mbulelo, a lot of us would only know him from the movies, though.
Mbulelo, you need to talk to most of us on the intersection of sport meeting current affairs or pop culture or just something, you know. It's an intersection.
Right. Yeah. Have you seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Yes, yes, yes.
There's a guy in there. He has a son. They are the stars of the movie.
Yes.
He is that guy.
There we go. See?
Oh, okay. Now we get it. Culture. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Vinnie Jones is the one whose son is busy playing with toys on the floor in Harry Hatchery's office.
Hatchery.
And then Barry the Baptist comes in and sits there and looks at the kid and goes, hello, my son. Do you want a lolly? And then the kid goes, piss off, you nonce. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. That's my favorite moment in the movie. Hello, my son. Oh, God. All right. Anyway, listen, we've got lots to get through today. But go and subscribe to Mbulelo's Cliff Central Sports.
Yeah, YouTube.
Go to YouTube and you can watch the show and you won't miss out on people like Vinnie Jones and Lee Westwood. Very nice. And Ben Karpinski. I mean, that's not, you know.
Yeah. Let's not degrade them.
No, absolutely. No, he's probably more valuable guest because you know you're going to get quality out of Ben. Unadulterated, unfiltered commentary and points of view, which is really the most valuable stuff you can get on YouTube at the moment.
Speaking of which, have you seen Ben? He is releasing a revenge body right now.
Listen, all those women who on Tinder didn't swipe, which way is the way that you like someone?
I don't know.
Right. If you swipe right, then you want them, right? I don't know. If it's left, then you don't want them. Anyway, all those women who swiped left on Ben, and they can't, I mean, Tinder has just been disastrous for him. Not because there's anything wrong with him, but let me tell you, if Ben did what most of the thoughts in the world would do and put his body on there, I'll tell you what, he'd be getting right swipes, left, right, and center.
Yeah.
The man would have an excess of sex lined up during the lockdown.
A cornucopia.
Jesus.
Oh,
Ben is doing, he's doing pull-ups and push-ups and, I mean, we spoke to him on the show not so long ago, 2 weeks ago? But let me tell you, the guy is just, he says he's, right now, he's just peaking. And what, he's in his 30s? He's feeling better than ever. I think Ben is entering his apex years. And I warn the female population of Johannesburg that if you don't take advantage of him during these times, you will have missed out on a specimen of humanity. So yes, his revenge body is being unleashed.
You know what? Yeah, these past couple of weeks are really working out for some people. I have a friend who has totally said this time has been about just making things happen. And he says that there should be no excuse that any of us should have at the end of this to say that we have this business idea that we didn't work on, that, you know, we have this plan in our minds, but this is the time to do it. Focus on yourself. You know, as long as you reframe how you look at lockdown, then you can make things happen. Right. And I thought, oh, he's actually harshly right.
I want to go through some messages quickly because some of these are really relevant right now, and then we'll get to the headlines. So first of all, this is from Kathy. She says, I was wondering how many people listen to your shows every day. Is there technology now where you can see your listenership? Because I only listen from 8 to 10. I'm still sleeping from 6 until 8. It amazes me how you all sound so bright and cheery every morning when you have such a small amount of sleep.
Yeah.
I can tell you our sleep is paltry.
Well, you've been having the weird week of sleep.
It hasn't got better. It's just. But anyway, I'm not going to sit here and bitch about that. But yes, we can tell how many people are listening. I can't because I don't have the logins. They specifically didn't give them to me. Otherwise, I'd be on there the whole time. You know, it's so important for me to win. And, you know, if I have less than, I don't know, 6 to 10,000 people at any given time on the show, then I'd be like, oh, this is a waste of time. And then I wouldn't want to do it. So they don't even tell me. But I know that the numbers are looking good, and we've doubled our audience during lockdown, which is phenomenal. And if you're new to the show, if you've only joined us in the last 6 months, welcome. This is how freedom sounds. And this is your show. And if you've got suggestions, please bring it on. We want to hear all about your ideas for the show. You know, there's lots that we try to keep improving. I got an email the other day from someone who said that they're missing Anthea, and frankly, so am I, but we're in the process of putting something new together for that. And I know we've got Sean Sanders on today from Revix, who always has some interesting insights. So if you have questions for him, send those in, 079-748-2090. Well done on So What Now. It was spot on last night. Thank you very much, Cherie. Yeah, it was really, Vusi Tembekwayo was great. Peter Boghossian was amazing. Germ was terrific. It was really good. So thank you. And that's the kind of stuff I want to get to on the show. Really a good job by the whole team on last night. It was nice to see Sia Sangweni in the credits. Did you see that, Sia?
Oh, look, I have to approve it. So yes, I did see that.
You like that, huh? It says their producer, Sia Sangweni. Isn't that nice?
I don't like that they didn't take my original title,
which was
King of Everything. Your great superior one.
I have names for each of my boobs. Good morning, team. I'm officially awake, Ruth. Hey, Ruth. What are your boobs' names? I'm interested. Mbulelo, there's a warning for you here. This is from Pumlani. Pumlani says, how are you going to cope with the looming shortage of coffee that we spoke about in the news the other day?
I wasn't ready to get that sort of feedback, so I'm just ignoring it until it becomes real, like most of society does, and then I'll take antidepressants.
Richard, wants to know, and Sia can probably help us out here, where does So What Now end up on YouTube? I've looked and it does not exist, Richard. Well, actually, Sia, am I right that it's on cliffcentral.com?
Yes, cliffcentral.com. .com/so-what-now. That's where, well, just know for certain you'll always find it.
If you go to our site, cliffcentral.com, you will find it there.
Listen, yeah, Peter Boghossian.
Wow.
Prolific writer.
Superb guy, huh?
Socratic thinker. Oh, I mean, just a juggernaut. Scientific skeptic. Love his work. So if you're into critical thought and distilling complicated thoughts into simplicity, you must catch it because he is a different level.
Wow. Man, he also just deserves the ultimate rock star award because we filmed with him at 10 a.m.-ish South African time, which meant that he was up for us at 1 a.m. And he was like, no, I'm keen to be on the show. I'll definitely make it work. So, damn.
He's such a nice person. I mean, he sends me direct messages on Twitter. And, you know, you talk to people who are regarded as some of the most important influential intellectuals of our time, and you kind of forget that you're talking to someone who has, as Mbulelo points out, written incredible stuff and has basically taken humanity forward with some of his thinking. And he's like, hey, my friend, and I'm blown away that this guy's talking to me like this. But he's a genuinely good human being, and he, I think he and his family are thinking of moving out of Portland. That's what he said on the show last night, because it's just become such a clusterfuck of a place.
Wow.
And a guy like him, so he's written about some of the best work I've ever read. If you're in education, you must get a hold of his work, because he writes about pedagogy better than probably anybody I've ever read. He's just,
well,
his thought towards the...
He and Helen Pluckrose and James Lindsay, who are his co-writers in a piece that they all authored to basically show up how academia is tolerating complete nonsense in their midst. That's worth reading. And we, in fact, interviewed all three of them on cliffcentral.com not so long ago. All three terrifically smart people. So if you're into this, like Mbulelo is, that's worth looking at. Just to go back to coffee for a second, Matt sent me a picture of a commercial coffee farm in Limpopo. He says there are 5 commercial coffee farms in South Africa. 5, only 5.
Only 5. Yeah,
5, only 5.
Oh, get that shit.
Get let like this, huh?
Sure lose.
I need to keep up on their YouTube channel. I haven't caught up.
There are 5, only 5. Yeah?
Five. Only 5.
That's it?
There are 5, only 5. There are 5. 5.
So there are 5 coffee farms, in case you missed that. Wow, so my friend's married to 1 of 5 coffee farmers in South Africa. That was a good catch, huh?
Yeah.
Such a good guy, too. All right, Vinny Jones, isn't he the guy who grabbed another player by the balls? That's from Ulrich.
Ulrich, you're correct. It's called The Crazy Gang. There's a tremendous documentary if you care to go and watch it. Wimbledon won an FA Cup, if you're into football. Just a tremendous story.
Okay. Venetia is saying, I listened since lockdown started because I don't have to be ready for 8 for the school drop-off. Yeah, you see. Thanks, Venetia. Well, welcome to the party. Long may it last, even if you have to take your kids back to school at some point. Bulelo, compliment for you. Loving the sports show. Well done. Great guests so far. That's from Taryn.
Long live.
Long leave. Remember when they used to say that? I never really understood because I was a kid. And then when Chris Haney was buried, they started saying, long leave, Chris Haney, long leave.
I thought, eventually it got ridiculous though.
Yeah, but I thought he was dead.
Long leave, and... Gucci Lee. Go, long, go. I mean, they're you comrades.
So I didn't understand. And then I was going around saying, long leave, Chris Haney, long leave. Which at a white model C school did not go down well.
Jesus I can Christ. Actually see why.
There were people who, I swear to God, there were some of my fellow high school students who wanted to kill me.
I can understand.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, long live Chris Haney, long live. And then Joe Slovo died shortly after that. And I was like, Oy. Long live Joe Slovo, long live.
Oy vey.
Well, you know what they say. If you're young and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're old and you're not conservative, you don't have a brain.
Touche.
Hey, GC, did you get a bit fat or is the TV show making you look that way? Oh, look, oh. Fuck you. I mean, thank you, Hugo.
People are so damn ruthless.
Hugo, first of all, it is a well-known fact that television adds a couple of pounds. I'm not fat. I've lost some weight during the lockdown. But if you think I'm fat, fine, I'll get back to work.
My God, Hugo.
Son of a bitch. All right. Ha, ha, ha. Someone sent me a picture of Sia with the body of Homer Simpson.
I don't like, no.
Hopefully, it says, hopefully the killer will get Sia before he's 900 pounds. And that is from Woody.
Wow.
Thank you, wow. Woody. And I love it. I'm going to send Sia this picture now.
Should we be thanking Woody for something like that?
Yes, sure. Robert says, coffee is great and good coffee is fantastic. Cadbury's chocolate is in short to out of stock supply in Nairobi.
That's okay. I don't live there.
Yeah, but Robert does. Yes. How's it from sunny Guptaville in Dubai? It is a balmy 41 degrees, according to ads. Thank you, dude. A great picture of him with his cyclist helmet on, which looks obviously ridiculous. Those helmets are ridiculous. But ads is having a good time in 41 degree heat in Dubai.
Do we even remember what heat is like right now?
Yeah. By the way, Fight Island, Dana White, UFC, they've Yaz Island in that region. 41 degrees. These guys are going to punch each other in a cage. Usman takes on Masvidal this weekend.
Wow. I wish I even knew who those people were.
Oh, no, they're fighting
Excuse
in the desert.
Me. What is the island called? Pardon my ignorance.
Yaz Island.
How do you spell that?
Probably a couple of Z's. I don't know.
Yaz. Does Yaz have a queen?
Here's a great message from Matthew. He says, hey guys, I love the show. I'm only 17. I've learned more useful knowledge on your shows than ever before. Could I suggest the inclusion of more races from a variety of sports? I know numerous of my friends and peers would listen. Sure. Racers.
Oh.
Not races.
I also heard races.
We got a lot of races on this show, don't you worry. I mean, what do we got today? So you got me, I'm white. We've got Sia, he's black. We've got Mbulelo, he's black. We've got Canton, he's Indian. Who else have we got today? Sean, he's white. Jonathan Witt, who knows what he is? He's going to be on the burning platform, by the way, and he has some corrections. Jean-Jacques Cornish was on the other day, and Jonathan Witt was listening and said to me, there's some figures he's just got wrong with COVID, and it's time for us to do a little COVID, 100 days into lockdown, how do those numbers stack up? Because people are also, you see these headlines about, you know, hundreds of thousands of infections, but what's the death rate? So we're gonna speak to Jonathan Witt. He's a doctor. He's in the public health service, so he knows. When you said here's Brendan who says, when you said coffee farms, I instantly thought of Zuma playing, and I did play the clip, Brendan. So you're not paying attention.
Oh.
Vinnie Jones also famously played Bullet Tooth Tony in the Guy movie Snatch by Guy Ritchie. Yes, thank you, Neil. Again, I think we covered that. Bulelo Yaz Island. There's no Zs. It's YAS. That's from Carol in Dubai.
Oh, all right.
Oh.
Sorry, Carol.
Some more suggestions for you. Daryl Impey or Robbie Hunter on the show with cycling season starting and the Tour de France back in the cards?
Possibly.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say about cycling.
Yeah. There are such things as mega bats. Have you seen these things?
Where's it? Taiwan?
Damn.
They are human-sized bats.
Yeah.
Damn. Fuck, those things are scary.
Some guys keep them as pets, by the way.
But they are enormous. These bats are, so they hang upside down, but they're as long as a human.
Now, that would
scare the living hell out of me. You wonder where the Dracula legend comes from. I'm telling you, that's where it comes from.
Mega freaking bats?
Yeah, I don't think these ones eat meat. I think they're fruit-eating bats. But how did they get so big?
Just the sight of it.
I wonder if there's steroids in the bat world now.
Just look up
PEDs.
Look up mega bats on your Google image. You'll shit yourself. Do you want to get into some headlines?
Let's learn something.
All right.
Sure.
Useful stuff this morning, first of all. An internal report compiled by senior executives at SARS and forwarded to Edward Kiswetter, the tax boss, in March recommends two key reports, which were used to drive the rogue unit narrative, be officially withdrawn and affected employees offered an apology. And about time. According to a copy of the 52-page report which News 24 obtained, a committee tasked with investigating the need for reparations to SARS employees affected by the allegations of illegal spying, which were nonsense. Do you remember we interviewed these guys? Their names escape me for the moment, but they wrote a book on what nonsense this rogue unit was. And these poor people lost their jobs. In fact, I can tell you who they were. Andries Janssen van Rensburg, Ivan Pillay, and Johan van Lochrenberg. Do you remember, Sia, we had them in? We certainly had Johan van Lochrenberg in. And they were at the Pretoria Magistrates Court. And SARS, because Tom Moyane was driving this narrative, SARS fired them. And these guys were good tax people. They were, I mean, if you think tax isn't theft, unlike me, then you believe that these guys are the kind of people who make a country better because they are good at collecting tax and they see to it that that tax is spent properly by government. Anyway, they were chased out of SARS, remember?
I do remember that.
Yeah. EFF leader Julius Malema on Saturday told reporters that retired Judge Robert Nugent helped to capture the South African Revenue Service. Malema made the comments during a media briefing. Of course, there's no proof of that, but he likes saying things and people write it down instead of just ignoring him. Anyway, Kiswetter has not yet acted on the recommendations, even though the report was sent to him 4 months ago. Some of the 31 employees who were interviewed as part of the process have also indicated they were anxious to receive feedback from SARS. Many are still struggling with trauma, financial problems, and workplace issues, all related to the rogue unit drama during the state capture period. So good luck to these guys, because that Tom Moyane, he should go to jail. Really. The things that he's done to hobble and cripple the working state, just outrageous. And here's another person who's just hobbling and crippling things rather than getting the job done. Shamila Batoy of the NPA. I mean, every week she comes up on the burning platform as just she's sitting there again doing nothing. Well, she said the authority expected an avalanche of work arising from State Capture Commission and other inquiries. On Wednesday, Parliament heard the Zondo Commission had cost taxpayers 700 million rand to date. How is that possible? How does the Zondo Commission cost that much? Tell me how. They have to accommodate witnesses at a hotel while they're testifying? That's a couple of thousand rand. I mean, unless they're putting them at the, you know, in the presidential suite of the most expensive hotel in the country. They have investigators who are busy compiling reports. Sure, that costs some money, but not hundreds of millions of rand. How does it get to 700 million rand? How?
That's astronomical.
You know that Facebook post you read out by Rams Mabotja talking about his friend who offered the government free advertising space?
Yeah.
Is still somewhere ringing in my head. I think that's how we got.
Yes, because someone needs to, in inverted commas, eat. Anyway, the story is about Shamila Batoy. She's noted the $700 million cost, and she said, "Honorable members, it has been laid bare that the amount that it has cost the Zondo Commission to be dealing with state capture in the context of their mandate. One can only imagine what it's going to cost law enforcement, as well as the NPA, to properly address the avalanche of work that is going to come from the Zondo Commission." She said the NPA's investigating directorate needed scarce skills and more resources to prosecute large-scale corruption. So get on with it then. Jesus, what are you doing?
Is this a case of we're scared to look behind the curtain? Because once we find out who's involved, will it like shatter the fabric of our society? Like, what is going on here?
Isn't she, her whole job is to do this. This is what she goes to the office every day to do. Like, we get here and do the show. That's what she's there for. That is her purpose in life. That is what we pay her to do. So please stop moaning and get on with it.
Hear, hear.
New satellite images obtained by CNN show recent activity at a previously undeclared North Korean facility that researchers suspect is being used to build nuclear warheads. Great.
Yo.
Donald, it's time for you to meet with Kim again. And we need to see if that sister of his is in charge of this thing.
All right. Have we seen pictures
of Kim yet? Like in the last month?
We don't know if he's alive. We don't know if he's incapacitated. We don't know if he's 100% fine.
Rest in peace.
Ay, buena.
Come on.
So they've got all kinds of entrances into bunkers. There's a monument on top of the hill. On-site housing, new structures that were built between June and September of 2018, security perimeters, all kinds of interesting stuff. And there's a water factory nearby, so that could also indicate that that's what they're doing. Anyway, this is scary stuff, and they've just taken these satellite photos now, and it appears it may be a nuclear facility for building warheads. And then,
if that scares you, how scary is it that the only person that will negotiate this is Dennis Rodman, because we know he's big friends with Kim Jong-un. Now that's scary.
We'll send him in there. And then we spoke to Jean-Jacques last week on the Burning Platform, but he's really our Africa expert as well, and we're putting something together there that I think will keep a lot of people amused, entertained, and interested, because we have a very interesting continent full of stories that very seldom get the same attention that other international stories get, and that's a pity. But there's a story out of the Ivory Coast. Their Prime Minister, Amadou Gon Coulibaly, died on Wednesday after attending a cabinet meeting just 3 months before the presidential elections that he was due to contest. He was 61. He was the ruling RHDP coalition's candidate for president. He was appointed Prime Minister in 2017. He just died after a cabinet meeting. He went to cabinet. They had the meeting. After he left that afternoon, he went home and died.
Makes sense. Very stressful part of the world to live in. And how he came into power. So for those who care for it, Gbagbo, the previous guy, there was a genuine civil war.
Gbagbo that you spell with a G.
KG, yeah.
Gbagbo.
Yeah. Okay. Civil war. So my sister did her honors there. So she studied in the Ivory Coast. And at the time, she was there. Uh-huh. And they had to be on red alert to ship out. And in class, they had to duck under desks.
What? Wait. You go to class and you need to be on standby that, well, shit could go pear-shaped.
Yeah.
No, it was in a civil war. So not like afterwards. They were in the heat of it when the transition. Gbagbo was now still trying to hold on to power. My sister was there studying. In Abidjan.
Oh, a real thing. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some scary stuff going on in the world. Yeah. The world is not all, you know, happiness.
Oprah and Gail.
You have to bring her into it. Yeah.
in the confines of this here apartment. It is.
So even though a lot of people will say, oh, it must have been COVID, it wasn't. He had heart problems. So the guy has actually been to Europe a couple of times to receive medical treatment for recurring heart problems. I think if you're an African leader and you are going to Europe for medical treatment, or Singapore like Bob Mugabe used to do, you should be immediately thrown out of office, because it should be part of your job to improve the medical facilities in your own country for the people of your country who elected you. And if you're going elsewhere to get medical attention, you should just be fired from your job automatically. Because the rest of us who live on this continent would like to have good medical facilities too. Yes, no?
Hear, hear.
Good point. Yep.
Great point.
Honestly, how can the people of your country in the Ivory Coast be going through hell every day? They can't get medical attention anywhere if they do it substandard. And you get on a plane and you go to France because you've got a dicky heart. How dare you?
And you know why I feel nothing for him, with all due respect to him and his regime? The Ivory Coast, and I can be corrected on these numbers, produce, I think, 70% of Africa's cocoa. Now, I may be wrong on that number. They have the world's chocolate comes from there. A lot of the world's coffee comes from Ivory Coast. A lot of the world's fruit produce, tropical fruit.
I mean, if you talk about a fertile part of the world, this place is
Ivory Coast. I mean, Côte d'Ivoire, just a tragic set of circumstance. Oh.
They sold a Ming Dynasty encyclopedia for more than $9 million at an auction. That fetched more than, this is amazing, more than 1,000 times the estimated price.
Damn.
This was a book that was published. Obviously, it's written in ink on paper, which the Chinese had invented, you know, a couple of years before then. But the Ming Dynasty's Yongle Encyclopedia sold in Paris for €8,128,000. How do you like that?
Whew.
Now, the encyclopedia sought to encompass all knowledge in China at the time, commissioned by the emperor in 1403. More than 2,000 scholars worked on this encyclopedia, and it's just a marvelous piece of work. Now, this is the kind of thing, if I were a billionaire, I'd be buying.
Is there anything, Gareth, if money was no concern, that you'd love to get your hands on as a history buff?
Oh, see, I would collect all the stuff that people in the world want to destroy because they don't like history. You know, people who want to change and revise history. I'd collect it all. The bad guys, the good guys, the interesting stuff. I would go around and just make that stuff safe from assholes. I'd build an enormous library like at Alexandria. If I had all the money in the world, I'd build the world's biggest museum stroke library. I'd build it on an island somewhere. People could come and visit for free because I wouldn't need the money. And I would just keep the stuff safe from tyrannical regimes and the Taliban and, you know, nutcase revisionist historians and people who just like to destroy shit. I'd just keep it safe for, even though I don't have children, generations that come after me. That's all I would do. In fact, I believe there could be no more noble purpose for my life than to become rich to do that. I would like to do that.
Wow.
If I seriously make a lot of money in my life, you'll never hear from me again. I'll quietly go around the world collecting treasures from anyone who wants to sell them or is looking to destroy them. I'll buy them up for whatever they want for it in money, and I'll create the world's biggest, safest library stroke museum where all these treasures can be on display for the rest of humanity and for the rest of time, and no one can touch them. I will buy an island. I'll declare it a sovereign state. I will exempt it from all other countries and their bullshit. And I will just store up precious things.
Except for Yoko, the things that Yoko Ono's currently giving away. Is there anything else you're currently looking at?
I'd clear out all of Yoko's stuff. I'd offer her whatever she wants for it, because she's going to need medical attention soon. And Sean's probably sold most of it anyway.
She'll just need you to buy 7 of her CDs.
Well, then that's fine. I'll say, sure, I'll buy your CDs and throw those in the trash on the way out. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's stressed.
But there's so many things. Yeah. I mean, I watched this horrible video the other day that someone sent me of ISIS. And, you know, they took over a museum in Mosul during their conquest of Mosul. This is probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And ISIS came into this museum and they just started chopping statues to pieces from the Hatra dynasty, the Hatra Empire, which was a little known empire that existed in the Middle East in Mesopotamia. At a very critical point, they were in fact partly responsible for translating many of the ancient texts of the ancient Greek and Roman philosophers, and they stored them in what was then Babylon. And the Hatra dynasty, we don't have a lot of stuff because obviously that part of the world is just a clusterfuck of violence. So this Mosul Museum was a rare gem. And the Taliban, the ISIS people went in there and they just started hacking at this shit with axes. And a lot of it was sold to whoever would buy it, you know, unscrupulous people who would buy antiquities. Mm. And the stuff that was too big to move, they just destroyed. They just shattered it and broke it and ground it to dust. That's not their history. It's human history. It belongs to all of us. It's gone. Breaks my fucking heart.
So how do you feel about the Scandinavians, who themselves were a terrorist insurgency at their best? We present them now as fluffy guys with funny helmets.
Because they used to land in Normandy and sack monasteries and destroy everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, this is the problem. See, humans, our default setting, we get a little pissed off, and what do? We break things. I don't like that about us. So I wish that, you know, I wish I had billions now, because you would never hear from me again. I'd quietly go and live somewhere where nobody knows where I am, do my own thing. I'd just collect these things and preserve them. I'd hire a team of curators and say, dudes, ladies, just look after this shit, please.
You know what you should have on the same island is a prison for all the iconoclasts who destroy and criticize these things you love.
Yeah.
Keep them in that prison. And
maybe,
they can
maybe I'd buy them. I'd buy those people from regimes that have arrested them. And then
wow.
I have, well, you know, I've always had this fantasy. I mean, now you got me going down a certain path here. So
okay,
well done, Mbulelo.
I know
we got Sean Sanders joining us in a minute, but I'll give you the elevator pitch. So the same island, I want to turn into the world's greatest sporting event, right? Okay. I know you don't think of me as a sports fan, but I'd buy the island, I'd buy the world's worst prisoners, and I'd make them fight to the death, gladiator style, as in the ancient Rome.
And awesome.
You know, I'd have a big stadium built, and it would be pay-per-view on television. And this is how I would fund the museum if I don't have money. So I've got a plan. There's a plan B. And yeah. I will have the world's most violent criminals brought there, and they'll have to kill each other. And it'll be a fight to the death. They'll be given vicious medieval weapons. And it will be, you know, a subscription. You'll pay to watch it on TV, and we can have advertisers with their, you know, their branding around the stadium, and, you know, bachelor's parties can fly in and spend the weekend and
oh, spend the weekend watching people die. You know what? Actually, people will
see. People will come. Please believe.
I realize I'm the exception. Never mind.
Your first fight. I've already got your first fight.
Yeah.
Weinstein headlining, and you got Jacinda or whatever her name is.
Who
Epstein
is?
Lady. That's our first fight.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay. I tell you what, Ghislaine Maxwell will run circles around Harvey Weinstein, mostly because he's a fat, lazy slob. But that would be a hell of a show, huh?
Listen.
See, now, who wouldn't pay for that?
Take my money. Take my money now.
Everybody watches sport. Please, this is the original sport. You know, these games were so popular in ancient Rome that an emperor, if everyone was starving, all he had to do was declare games. People would go and watch other people being killed, and they would never, they'd forget that they were starving.
That is so twisted.
Yeah, take circuses money. And bread. Bread and circuses, that's all that emperors had to do to stay in power. All right, so I'm going to buy up the world's criminals, and that's my plan B. Okay, let's get to someone who has a plan A for us, because we hope we don't all have to buy up the world's criminals and start a pay-per-view killing service.
Yeah, preferably not.
Sean Sanders is with us. Sean, we at the moment rely so heavily on you to help us navigate our way through this insane world. Your investments should be changing just like the world. If they aren't, you need to ask yourself why not. It's a market that we've never seen before. And Revex is an intelligent investment platform that allows anyone, anywhere to build a diversified portfolio of bundle of assets in just a few clicks. So let's speak to Sean and find out about what's going on in the market. Sean, good to see you again. Gold hit an 8-year high yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. This is very good news for gold.
Yeah, no, it's very good news. So gold hit $1,815 yesterday, which is, if you look at the price chart, it's quite remarkable because you've seen about a 3% move over the last week, and it's been kind of bouncing around between $1,700 to $1,800. So yesterday's breakout has been a very welcome change. And I guess now it's on to, hopefully higher highs, because, the prior record, which was in 2001, was $1,900. And you've had Goldman Sachs and Citibank analysts come out with expectations of gold doing just that, hitting $2,000 within the next 12 months, which would mean that there's roughly about 20% upside remaining in gold. And, we offer a way to invest in gold through Pax Gold, our tokenized gold offering. And, that's been doing really well. That's been tracking gold pretty much move for move. And, we offered that risk-free promotion last month, which meant that there's a few thousand customers that are sitting in Pax Gold currently that have just finished that promotion. And, hopefully they've benefited further from this upward move.
It's amazing. I'm looking at the charts for gold at the moment. It's such a great story because it's an upward. The curve is just great. It's nice to see this because obviously, who doesn't want their investments to go up? And it's great to see if you have a little bit of gold that was a very good buy at the time. And do you reckon it'll keep going in that direction? Do you agree with those experts you were just talking about?
Well, gold will bounce around. We are in really volatile times. It could go down 5%. It could move up 5%. But I think the upward trend will continue over the longer term. And that's what we advocate at Revex, which is to say, look 5 or 10 years out. Really take that sort of position with gold because you've seen so much money printed from central banks this year. Just that sheer force, that debasement of global currencies by having more dollars in circulation. And Gareth, we've spoken about this during the show so many times before. But just by having so much more money in circulation around the world, the real world assets, the properties, the likes of gold, silver, even Bitcoin, those prices tend to then be pushed upward because there's more physical or more fiat currency. So dollars, rands, pounds, etc., floating around the world. And that's a big driving force for gold going forward. So yes, I would definitely agree with the analysts.
Well, I think it's very exciting for gold, but that's not the only thing that's doing well at the moment. Crypto is looking good and you guys offer crypto bundles. So what are they? How have they been doing?
Yeah, so they've been doing really well. I'll quickly run through our three main bundles. So, we've spoken about this before on the show, but we've got ready-made bundles, and these give you diversified exposure to the crypto market.
Right.
Our top 10 bundle, which gives you exposure to the top 10 cryptocurrencies, is up 12% over the last 30 days, which is pretty good, and is up 65% year-to-date, which outperforms all major stock markets. And I don't know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, but the NASDAQ was at all-time highs. It came crashing down, and now it's back at all-time highs with Tesla increasing, like 4 or 5 times year-to-date. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is. It is insane.
Anyway, that's our top 10 bundle.
I was looking at
smart contract.
At all these guys who on the stock market have just, like Jeff Bezos, he's at an all-time high in terms of his personal fortune. Elon Musk as well, yeah. They've taken, COVID's done wonders for them.
Yeah, it has. if you look at the Russell 2000, which tracks, the 2000 largest companies in the US, which then incorporates a lot of the smaller players, still big companies, listed companies, but bigger, small companies, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's completely underperformed versus the NASDAQ or the S&P 500. It's like night and day, looking at two different charts entirely. One's going down and the other two are going to record highs. Both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ have gone pre-COVID levels. That's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But anyway, so back to our bundles. The smart contract bundle is up 10% over the last month and then up 85% year to date. And there's been two cryptocurrencies within that have done exceptionally well, which have been Ethereum and Cardano. So those are the smart contract cryptocurrencies that are looking to kind of provide a new way of sort of interacting with each other, a more decentralized peer-to-peer way. And I know that this is, you know, this is a bundle we get a lot of questions on because it is the top performing bundle and people just don't quite get what decentralized networks mean and what's the difference versus the centralized systems that we have today.
Well, I'm happy to hear that about Ethereum because I've been, you know, I bought some Ethereum, what was it, 6 years ago or whatever it might be, and it hasn't really moved a lot. And then and suddenly it picks up some acceleration and you get excited and then it goes back down. And that's a roller coaster that I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, when you're not looking at the likes of Bitcoin or Litecoin and you're looking at the likes of Ethereum or Cardano or EOS, I mean, these are very network driven. So the more people that are building decentralized applications, and I mean, just take the word decentralized, forget I ever said that because that's what seems to confuse a lot of people. But when you build applications on top of these networks, that's what drives these networks' values and the price changes as well. And you're seeing this very big move into DeFi or decentralized finance, which could be like, you know, you, Gareth, giving me a loan directly without a bank being involved or being able to, you know, provide a variety of different financial services directly to people across the world. And that's super exciting. And that's something that's been driving Ethereum and Cardano and the other smart contract oriented cryptocurrencies. And then, yeah, other bundle is the payment bundle that's flat month on month, and it's up 55% year to date. So we've got, you know, our bundles have been doing really well over the last 6 months or so, and it's been a good year for crypto in general. And I think, you know, you're still looking at Bitcoin being quite well off its all-time high. I mean, it's at about 50% of its all-time high today. And year to date, I mean, it's at the moment about $9,300. And, you know, just 2 months ago, it was back up to $10,000. So I suspect that Bitcoin will kind of track what is going on in the gold and the stock markets. It'll probably bounce around with an upward trend over the longer term.
Very good. Tell us quickly, what is the importance of diversification in all of this when it comes to crypto investing? You mentioned your three bundles, but why is it important to be diversified and not to just be in one cryptocurrency, for example?
Yes, I suppose it's the same as investing in stocks. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket or pick one stock. So it's exactly the same with cryptocurrency. And the big difference really is that this is an asset class that's only been around for a decade. And that's really not a long time in the world of investing. I mean, stocks have been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Bonds have been around for ages. Gold has been around for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at an asset class that's only got a 10-year track record, and you know, then you're trying to pick individual winners, whether that be Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, you name it, you just don't know. And you know, they say that the first step to having wisdom is actually understanding that you don't know that much, right? And that's essentially the same approach with our crypto bundles. You're saying, well, let's rather take a diversified investment into this market. And just like what's happened over the last while, I mean, you saw Cardano, a top 10 cryptocurrency, increase about 50% this last week. It's bouncing between about 40 and 50% return, and that's just because of a few big announcements around it. And if you had picked Ethereum over Cardano, you would obviously miss out on those sort of gains. And that's the big benefit, I suppose, of diversifying across these different cryptocurrencies. Because when these winners do come through over the long term, you know, you automatically are going to hold them in one of our bundles. And that's probably the biggest benefit that our bundles can offer, not just the diversification, but the fact that every single month we'll update your holdings to reflect the latest market movements.
So currency-wise, what are you thinking at the moment? This isn't something that that we usually ask you because it's not an area that you guys are necessarily the most active in. But I know you pay attention to the macro indicators, and I know that the Rand has really this year has not been great for the Rand, and last year wasn't either. Frankly, it's been on a downward slide for a long time. But in terms of the dollar and what's going on in the U.S. economy at the moment, how do you feel about currencies generally?
So people seem to get caught up. And I mean, I've done a fair amount of currency trading over my career. I mean, my past job, we had to hedge rather large portfolios. We needed to understand what the risks are around currencies.
Yeah.
And I personally, and this is my own personal opinion, certainly not financial advice, but I personally see the dollar depreciating over the coming years. I see the euro appreciating, so increasing in value. And yeah, the reason really is that Europe's been a little bit more hammered over the last decade than the US. The US has kind of been the poster child of stock market success, and you've seen a lot of money move into the US and out of Europe. And I personally see that there'll be a bit of a rotation back into Europe. So that's going to be one factor driving the euro. The pound has got a big question mark behind it because, God, I mean, why are we going to go with the pound with Brexit and everything? I mean, that's quite a big mess at the moment. And then South Africa, really, the rand trades as a proxy for emerging markets. I mean, currency traders around the world, which are the guys that really move this market and determine the value of the rand relative to the dollar, the pound, or the euro, they simply go, listen, it is risk on or it's risk off. People are moving into stocks. People are excited about investing in China, India, Russia, you name it, and they invest in the rand. Mm-hmm. And that pushes the rand's price up or down. And, you know, we want to sit here and go, okay, no, it's our politics that are determining where the rand's going. Like, sure, that's maybe something that's happening in the background, but it's actually, you know, it's a story that's much bigger than just South African politics. So where do we see the rand going? Unfortunately, the rand's going to structurally decline year on year. We've got a higher inflation rate than what you see in the US or in Europe or in the United Kingdom. It probably will strengthen a bit further over the short term. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to come back down to 12 rand to the dollar or something, but it could, you know, move a further 5 or 10%. And then longer term, unfortunately, you're going to see the rand, you know, structurally decline. It's just kind of the way that, you know, inflation works.
This is precisely why we have you on every week, to help us figure out better places to put our money. Because if you keep it in rands, all you're going to see is a decline in your overall portfolio value, right?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, unfortunately, South Africa is not exactly in the best position. We don't have a sort of momentum on our side. We've got to kind of turn that corner at the bottom of the chart and start seeing some indicators come through that goes, hey, listen, unemployment is decreasing rather than increasing. You need to start seeing people go like, hell, South Africa is actually a good investment destination. Well, hell, even take a step back from that. South Africa is just a good holiday destination again.
Right.
Like, there's the crime rates aren't insane and stuff. Those are the sort of things which need to change. And then that filters through to the rest of the system.
All right. We've talked some macroeconomics today, and there's lots of great advice in there. But I'm very excited for people who have been investing in gold and crypto over the last while, because you're starting to see some real returns, and we're starting to see some value generating in our portfolios there, which is terrific. Make sure that you sign up with Revex. You've missed out on some upside already, but it's never too late, right, Sean? Do it now, because now is the best time to start investing.
Totally. Get started with 500 Rand. You can head over to www.revex.com. There's no sign-up fees. There's no monthly fees. The only fees we charge is a 1% transaction fee when you buy or when you sell your asset. So it is as easy as it gets when it comes to investing.
Right. Very, very good. Thank you so much.
Brilliant, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you. Very good. Sean Saunders, everybody, and Revex.com. If you want to go and have a look at what they're up to, go and sign up. As he said, he's upfront about what they charge, and you know that that's what you're in for. But it's just an amazing time to be involved in all of this, because it's watching money either grow or decline, hopefully not decline, but you see your money grow, you see it go in different directions, and you see what the world market really, if you don't understand this stuff, if you don't have skin in the game, it's all just other people talking, and it never becomes anything that you care about or are interested in. So start paying attention and start doing it because you actually have some money in the market.
And he gave us a Socratic notion there.
What's that?
The wisdom quote. He said, true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. So Sean's on the game, man.
There we go.
That's how to get into your heart, Mbulu.
Oh, yeah.
Marvelous. Okay, when we come back, it is time for the burning platform, which this morning we have Jonathan Witt, Dr. Jonathan Witt, who obviously knows a huge amount more about COVID than any of us. We've all been COVID experts in our own heads for the longest time. So it's time to find out precisely what these figures mean. And we hear all kinds of alarmism in the news. Maybe we need to just do a quick reality check. And Canthan Pillay, of course, back as usual. That's the burning platform. Next on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.